This is a travelogue, a chronicle of life's journeys and the bits of wisdom gathered along the path. This is a sketch, a perpetually unfinished portrait of a community of explorers. This is a guide to curiosity and wonder, setting off from Gainesville, Florida. This is Find a Way. Welcome to part two of my conversation with local blacksmith Jordan Borstelman. We pick up right where we left off last time and dive right into a rollicking discussion regarding religion, spirituality, our experiences with rejecting some beliefs, accepting others, coming back to those that we rejected. And then we go on our own little tangents, and it's a really enjoyable conversation. There is more from this discussion that is not posted in this episode. I've got plans for it, so rest assured, you will get some more Jordan sometime in your future. In the meantime, I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank Crooked Path Forge for being our sponsor. This is also the blacksmithing company owned and founded by Jordan. Do yourself a favor. Go check out crookedpathforge.org. See the classes that are offered there. You can make your own knife, make your own axe. There's a lot of things you can make there with Jordan. His workshops are a blast, as I've said many times before. You can also buy his knives, his blades, his axes. Again, lots of different things to purchase on the website. Textbooks, cool stuff. Anything that you buy on the website or anything that you buy at one of the craft fairs, art shows, the Ren fairs, you can use promo code FINDAHAMMER to get 10% off. That's FINDAWAY's special promo code, FINDAHAMMER. To get yourself 10% off. Thanks again for being here, and thank you for listening. This conversation delivers. Dramatic pause. Enjoy.
You know, it's, to me, it's one of the exciting things about death is we get to find out.
Yeah.
Or at least I hope we get to find out. I'll be sure. Really disappointed if we don't get to find out.
Yeah,
me too. You know, if I show up and it's just like a beige office and they go, well, you just get to sit here and nobody tells you anything and you don't get to do anything and you just get to wait. That would be really, I would burn the place down.
I was going to say,
100%.
You would not go along with that. No. I know you too well. Not sit in that room.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, I've said that too about like, if, you know, I die and it really is like, oh, there's Jesus and the Christian God and, you know, the pearly gates, like, there's gonna be a ruckus because you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, serious.
Which is sort of why I don't like those types of philosophies on.
Yeah, I certainly
the black and white of the Christian religion, particularly. But
which is weird to me because I feel as though I had a big I became repulsed by Christianity when I was 15 or 16 years old and really had a violent, inner violent.
Gotcha.
Lash out violently, but had a violent push back from it and was angry for a long time and bitter and venomous about the practices. And it's funny, me getting, I wanted to, starting in my 20s or so, I became really interested in learning more pagan belief structures, other indigenous cultures, beliefs. I just wanted to know, and I also investigated, you know, Islam and Judaism and Hinduism, you know, Buddhism. I thought that they're all really interesting as a subject to research.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Different cultures are fascinating.
Fascinating. And it was getting into paganism and things like that that led me to sort of, it's almost like, almost, it's not forgive, but to go back and think like, there is some cool stuff in this. I think I'm angry at the people
who are in this religion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, the more I learned about, like, some of the esoteric teachings of Jesus and things like that, and, like, it ignited a new interest in it. And it's funny, you mentioned this in the beginning when you're talking about being a pagan and realizing that is not the, you know, your space is not the same space as a lot of people, and you're surprised at how many people are Christian. And I think what I've come to realize is it's that Christianity has been baked into us
very much
in this culture.
Yeah.
So that, like, I think Carl Jung talked about how you get your archetypes get baked into you. So I have no choice but to have Christian archetypes because I was raised Christian. And even if I wasn't, I would have been raised in a Christian world or in a Christian culture. And yet Carl Jung, I think, also would argue that when you come into contact with whatever other it is, the archetype is just what it is. It's an avatar. It's just something that is presenting itself in a way that I can understand, right? So if I see Mother Mary and somebody else sees, the
goddess.
The goddess, right. The Gaia or whatever, like all of them. It's the same thing, just represented differently.
Right.
That is fascinating to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I want to talk. I want to go talk to Mary. You know, give me some knowledge, right?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I think there's a lot of truth to that, right? There's definitely these forces that act on us, and now to get super fucking woo, occasionally take an interest in us.
Yeah.
And the whys and wherefores. So, like, to me, it's much better explained in the pagan world. Like, and pagan is such a broad brush,
sure,
here, right?
Course.
Like,
right.
I'm talking about, pretty much whatever European god I feel like is cool and picking up is really what it is. And with an occasional African deity in there as well. But there is sort of like, this is the force, and then you're seeing it through that a lens, and it depends on, right. And so what I like about the pagan viewpoint of it is that there isn't a, if you look at all the stories about, like, the Greek gods, the mm-hmm. Norse gods, Roman gods, Celtic gods, they're not like interacting with humans in a way that is going, here's a bunch of rules, you need to follow these.
Right.
I care about you being good. Fucking Odin could give a shit about whether you're good or bad or who you kill or who you fuck or what the hell you do in your life.
Right.
He don't care.
Right.
He's not interested in giving you really anything.
Right.
Necessarily. If you ask for something, maybe he'll hear you. But for the most part, they're just stories about these gods interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And we could take some lessons from that. Possibly we can at least be entertained by that.
Right.
But they're very different from Christianity, where it's like, no, I'm giving you these rules,
right,
and you got to follow these rules. There's not any of that. And
right.
So it makes more sense now, right? Like, depending on what's going on and what's happening, and you interact with the presence of some kind or another, and oh, it's Hermes, or it's, Ogun, or it's, you see it based on the lens you're looking at it at.
Sure.
And I don't know.
I think I that's a really important point. I think what bothers me about so many religions is that stance of, like, do what I say or else you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, as opposed to, one of my favorite things that I've learned since I've allowed myself to dig into the, I don't know what to call it anymore, UAP phenomenon, whatever is happening right now with things that non-human intelligence, mm-hmm. I guess. One of my favorite things that I've come across is Jacques Vallée's stance on it, or one of his stances. He's got a lot of different ideas, but one of his is that they, whatever this is, they sort of just, like, dip in to give us a little guidance, you know, just to not to say like, if you don't do this thing, you're bad.
Right.
But to say like, the idea of seeing a flying saucer is meant to inspire us to figure out like, well, I want to do that. Like, I want to build something like that, you know? And I, that to me seems like if you want to go down a route of, you know, a creator, you know, if I created a being,
right,
and I wanted to set it loose and see what happened, I don't think I'd be following it around and saying like, I'm always watching you, and if you don't do what I say, I will smite you.
Right, right.
But I might do a little something like, oh God, I think they're going in this wrong direction. Here, just try this thing.
Yeah.
See what happens. Do you like that? Okay. I'm out. Just do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That kind of thing.
Sure. Sure. It seems more normal and natural, you know, rather than this, what I think of as this impossible concept of this sort of all knowing, you know, single entity that once again, if that's the case, you got some fucking explaining to do.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And maybe
and it might be the case, because fuck if I know for sure.
Course.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I really doubt it. I don't think, you know, I mean, being a pagan, the Christian God's a real God. And, you know, probably Jesus lived and did some cool shit. And, you know, but, you know, so did Thor and Baldur, and so did, you know, Ganesh and whatever else. Like, they're all moving around.
Sure.
Especially
if they're just ideas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I say just. That is a badly placed just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, at a base level, they exist because they are ideas.
Yeah.
You know? And in that way, they all exist. That's actually a viewpoint that I found to be really calming in what I find to be sometimes a tense discussion. There are, you know, I have friends and family who feel very connected to their religion. And it's been really, I've kind of come to this viewpoint that, again, going back to belief, I think that what you believe is real for you.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah.
No matter what, even an example I've thought of before is like, if I went back in time and brought all the science books I could find on black holes and went up to somebody and said like, there's a thing out in the sky, it's beyond the sky, and it's black hole, and I told them all about it, and it takes in all matter and light and things like that, and it exists, and here's all the science behind it, and blah blah blah, they would look at me and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? No, there's not. Or, you know, or they burn me, or, you know, something, right?
Yeah.
No matter. So to that person, there is no such thing as black hole. Like, no matter how hard I try, there is no such thing. And so from that subjective perspective, it doesn't exist. And so when it comes back to this, like, if somebody really believes in any religion, and that's 100%, I think that they're, again, maybe this is tapping into this magic that we're talking about as humans that we have, like, then maybe that is what your experience is going to be. You know, maybe when you die,
well could be.
You show up at the pearly gates and you, all the things you expected and, you know, that kind of thing. And that has been really freeing for me to be able to sit with somebody and say, sure, your thing is real.
Yeah, yeah.
And not feel like I have to say like, oh, I mean, not to me, but to me,
right,
your thing being real to you makes it real to you. So I can still play in this pool with you, you know, like I can, and I don't have to, you know, if they start trying to tell me that if I don't start believing what they believe, then I'm going to go to a bad place.
That's really, then that's the main problem there,
it's a
right?
great reason and to end the conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where it gets into trouble is when someone goes, no. The thing I believe counts for you as well,
right?
And you know, it's such a that's, you know, we don't need to keep talking about how shitty certain aspects of Christianity can be. And I've got family that is
sure
strongly Christian and have hearts of gold,
right?
And are just great people, you know what I mean? Like, that's I think just when you think about Christianity as like a human institution, it's going to do all kinds of fucked up things, just like any human institution.
Exactly right.
It does a bunch of fucked up things.
Right.
It occasionally does good things too, because it's run by humans who are both good and fucked up.
Right.
And good and fucked up.
Fucked up and good and good, yeah. And fucked up.
So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of, you know, but it's, I'm more conscious of it these days, like how that kind of black and white mindset is dictating a lot of people's thoughts and feelings about things, and the tribalism concepts as, yep, well. And for me, breaking out of that tribal concept, not that I don't probably have a few, you know, I'm a human, I'm not going to escape it, but, you know, I feel like I've step back from that a little bit. It part of that is because of my relationship with my religion and my relationship with these gods who are from all over the place and are the same at the same time, but, sure, you know, are distinct aspects of certain parts of us. And so it's helped, you know, it's helped when I go, yeah, oh,
yeah,
it's okay for us to not all focus on loving this one thing. We can love a bunch of things.
Sure.
And probably we shouldn't love them because they're all assholes anyway. I'm speaking of the gods. Most of them are.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is also a powerful lesson. And so it's like, how about you just focus on yourself and doing good in the world? And, yeah, you know, you'll let the end of it take care of itself. Like, it's going to happen anyway.
I love that. And I love that I've aligned myself very much with when I learned about Gnosticism, and I learned what I think is Gnosticism. Maybe, yeah, I'm wrong, but the idea of trusting the only reality that you can trust being the one that shows up for you, you know, the one that like lights you up. Right. And, you know, the idea that you worship many gods, you kind of said it flippantly, like, yeah, I love the gods that are cool to me and I just like pick them out and I worship them. Right.
Yeah.
But like, I think what you're describing is a natural attraction to something that feels important to you.
Yes.
You know, very much like like becoming a blacksmith felt like, wow, this is like my thing. This is, and you know, miraculously, or I don't know, somehow we've gotten through this whole conversation, barely even talking about the fact that you're my DM for D&D. And like, that's something that you were drawn to very early in life that,
sure,
just felt like the right thing. And I can attest that, like, yeah, that was a calling for you. You know, a lot of people don't consider a game to be something like worth putting in the amount of time that you have, but it is a calling to be a storyteller the way you are, with the sort of enthusiasm and vigor that you've got for it. And that seems perfectly aligned with what you're talking about with choosing a god to worship. Like, replace the word god with like interest or, yeah, you know, hobby or creative outlet. These are things that we're drawn to almost, if I exerted my will to resist it, I could probably resist it. But I think we both recognize the value of allowing our will to push us toward it, you know, and embrace it. And that's kind of how I feel with my religious belief as well, or spiritual belief, or whatever you want to call it.
Sure, yeah.
Is this feels right to me, so I'm going that way. And maybe one day it won't.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, I can say, like, thank you, whatever God from whatever place.
Sure.
You got me to a point where I stopped believing in you. Now I can turn to this, you know, other thing or whatever it is. But if it lights me up, if it makes me, the term that I've started using is like, if it makes me buzz, you know, if,
yeah,
I get,
yeah,
that like excitement and that, ugh,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
then I'm in, you know, there's no choice.
Right.
I believe,
right.
I'm there, you know,
let's do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it, you know, I guess that's my version of apologizing when I start to talk about, you were saying, how my version of that is to make it flippant and to just be like, yeah, Thor's cool. He's got a cool hammer and he like beats up giants, you know, when the reality is, you know, there's a very deep and emotional and spiritual connection. And some of them, you know, I have chosen to sort of admire, worship, whatever you want to call it. And some have chosen me in ways that were, you know, unexpected. Yeah. And those interactions are the ones that have given me the confidence to go, oh, this isn't just all in my head. You know what I mean? This isn't just me in the backyard trying really, really hard to fly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I wasn't even trying at that particular moment. And I was contacted. I was interacted with, you know, the big finger came down and squished a little part of my brain. and so, you know, I'm like, you know, yeah.
I'm in.
Right.
Yeah.
Here we are. Okay. Fuck. Let's go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been, yeah, I don't know. That's just been an interesting part of life. And
I think for me, it helps me. I know people who don't need external validation for anything, and I'm like amazed by them.
Yeah.
For me, it helps sometimes for somebody to just say like, yeah, I think you're doing it right or whatever. And so I've taken it upon myself sometimes to give, you know, say that when I feel it with other people. And with you, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I met somebody who seemed so exactly where they're supposed to be as far as the way you present yourself. I'm not trying to say like your life is perfect. Nothing needs to change. Yeah.
Right.
Not at all. But like you, at least your presence in my life as, you know, as a storyteller, as a blacksmith, as a pagan, as an enthusiast, as a partner to Kathy, as a friend with me and Audrey and our friend group. I just cannot imagine. I can't imagine any of those choices that you've made along the way to get there being bad choices. Like, you are a blacksmith. You are a blacksmith. Yeah. If I saw you walking down the road, I'd be like, that dude knows how to bend steel, you know?
It has, and you know, the blacksmithing in particular has taken over my whole life in a way that is extremely beneficial. You know what I mean? Like, it's given me like physical confidence in my own body.
Yeah.
You know, it's taught me patience. It's funny, like growing up, especially like through high school and being fascinated with different cultures and religion and trying to find something other than the one that I was raised in, which was, you know, Lutheran Christianity. I had this real and probably also reading a lot of Conan the Barbarian books.
Hell yeah.
Gave me this idea of like, I need to become a man.
You know?
And like that search for what manhood and what is it? And how do I know when I'm a man? And I mean, this is a story I told at the Conk once, and it's pretty embarrassing. But I was trying to perform a manhood ritual by myself out on the beach. In which it's so terrible. I wanted to carve, and this was not a like a depressive, I guess, spoiler alert for self-harm here, or that's not the term, sorry, trigger warning.
Trigger warning. Okay.
Yeah. But for me, this was not coming from a place of like depressive, bad feelings. Anyway, I wanted to carve the world tree into my chest with a razor blade.
Oh my God.
In order to have this sort of manhood ritual.
Holy shit.
And my folks, they lived on the beach, Bradenton, Sarasota area, Anna Maria Island. And so I grew up there partially. And anyway, I'm out there. It's a sacred place for me, that beach.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm out there, and it is really hard to carve into yourself with a razor blade in any meaningful way. Yes. I couldn't go through with it. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I had a few little cuts.
Yeah.
I had a few little stops and starts, and I was just like, this is... And then I just felt like a fool.
And
the reason I was there, so this was, I don't know, I was like 20 or so maybe. The reason I was back visiting my folks and able to go out to the beach was because we were having this big family get together where we're going to take family photos. And there's this series of photos that we've taken as a family, me and my cousins, my sister, sort of that, our generation. We would all take our shirts off and make muscle arms. And there's like a picture of us all doing this as like, you know, 5-year-olds or something. And so my mom wanted to recreate this. And so here I am, I take my shirt off and there's these fucking cuts.
Oh, no.
And like, it's the only time I really had an argument with my mom where I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. I'm going to keep my shirt. And she was just like, for whatever reason, this is where she decided she was going to dig her feet in. And I had to take my fucking, that. It's like, all right, fine. You know, and there's this like half-ass little, you know, but clearly like cuts. I did it to my, you know what I mean? Like, wow. It was so weird.
I'm impressed that you even got the couple of cuts.
They were very shallow. Like, still, probably 3 days later, you couldn't see them.
Okay.
But they were certainly visible that day, because I'd just done it that night. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, oh God, it was so fucking, I'm glad I can laugh at it now.
Totally.
But I was so hungry for that, for manhood,
right,
in a way that it just didn't happen until I got into the blacksmithing.
Sure.
And got a level of self-confidence in myself, and a confidence in my ability to manipulate the world around me, at least in this one way. But then I feel like I'm able to take that one way and apply those lessons,
sure,
elsewhere. And so I think that's what you're seeing. You know what I mean? And
I definitely think so.
Yeah. But if you had caught me earlier, I was a mess.
I mean, we all were.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
I mean, I'm still a mess.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a mess that is like piled in, you know, pleasing piles. You know, like I applaud your desire for that rite of passage, you know, like as a tutor and a sort of, I don't know, mentor, coach, whatever people want to call it.
Yeah.
One of the things I run into a lot, especially with boys, is that, you know, they suffer, and we suffered as well, because our culture has not allowed for any real meaningful rites of passage to recognize, like, this person is a man now, or this person is fully grown now, fully realized as whoever they identify as. It's a thing.
I think women are forced to get it.
Right, exactly.
In a way that is hopefully done correctly in your life, but often is not.
Right.
If you got the plumbing of a male, you're not getting that in the same way, I don't think.
Sure. Yeah. Just the discomfort, just the, like, the shame and the, like,
yeah,
you know, things are happening down there that I don't understand.
Certainly, again, it's fucking, some of this is Christianity's fault in making all of these things shameful.
Right.
Right. But like, the sex talk I had with my dad was, he threw a box of condoms on my lap and said, if you're going to use them, use them. Or if you're going to do it, use them.
Oh, wow.
And that was the extent of fucking sexual education from my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, there isn't any sort of, yeah. And I like rituals. I love rituals. My marriage was another huge milestone in my life. The ritual of that wedding,
right,
and coming together is not about, it's what it is it's an event where we all come together and we go, this person and me, we're now family.
Yes.
And I'm showing this to all my loved ones that we're officially family now.
Yes.
And doing that in a way where everybody can see it, and it's, whether you like it or not, it's happening. So you,
yeah,
you better learn to live with it. That's hugely important.
Agreed.
If you're going to share your life with somebody in that way.
And share your communities that way. That's where I can find the beauty in some of those, like, okay, the bride side, the groom side type of thing. Yeah. I love it when I go to a wedding and I can't tell which side I'm supposed to be on, okay, we're already kind of connected, aren't we? Okay.
Yeah.
So like, let's make sure everybody meets, the families and things like that. And, I love that idea as well. Just, we're family now. We're all like, I'm asking for your support. That's why you're here.
Right.
And that's how community is built.
Yeah.
That's, it shouldn't be, it's not, her land is my land now. And
No, that's crap. That's all just the trappings of bad ideas, I think.
Yeah.
I
agree.
But yeah, it's, and also the, like, you hear it said too, where it's like, oh, this is the bride's day and it's all about,
right.
what the bride and groom want. And to me, I'm like, no, it is not our day. This is the whole family's day, because we're adding somebody new to the family here. And that is, yes, it's a decision that we've made without your express permission.
Sure.
Hopefully we all have gotten to be friends here and we know this is going to happen.
But got unofficial permission.
Right, right. But, we're making this decision for everybody, but also you need to be here to, I mean, this is sort of you coming in to say, hey, yeah, we're okay with this.
And, yeah, I agree with that mentality.
It's fascinating, man. I love. And so that's really like, the big one, right? That and probably death are the two big rituals that we have as a society here in the United States is,
and then these small ones, like getting your driver's license, and
right.
Like, I don't know, moving out.
Yeah.
Those
can be moments.
Sure. They can
but
be.
They're not like, yeah.
So many times they're just kind of, psh.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I try to emphasize with the parents that I work with is like, no, make a big deal, don't make a big deal in a way that, upsets your kid.
Right,
but
right.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Birthdays, big deal. Not just for the kid, for the parents.
Yeah,
that was a big day for them, all that kind of stuff. I think we as a society in general would be a lot better off if we had some reverence for rituals.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I think it's it's part of what's gotten us this far, as a species.
Sure.
Were some of these acknowledgments and living in a community that, it was something too. Like when I first started blacksmithing, I was like, how do I know if I'm a journeyman? Like, how do I know if I can even call myself a blacksmith?
Yeah.
And that sort of a consideration was real important to me at the time, And I was going, well, I really only like swing a hammer maybe once a month. I mean, I've made a couple things. I don't know. Now it's like, who fucking cares? Call yourself whatever you want to. But at the time, that was real important. And there wasn't a recognition program there,
Right.
And so it was hard to know until 10 years after the fact or 5 years after the fact. And you look back and you go, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess.
I'm good.
It happens sometimes back there.
I don't know. At some point.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess like the ritual aspect of it is kind of one of the things that helps that magic happen, right? Like that immaterial thought is brought into this arena of ritual, and then like a wedding, like we weren't family, and then we thought of ourselves as family.
Yeah, you are a
family. And now we are family.
Yeah.
It's real.
And that's fucking real. And even though, like, if you're a science person, it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess not a science person, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, material plane
person.
If you
tend to be,
materialist.
Yeah, that's it. That's 100% a magical act, right? Creating somebody else's becoming family.
Right.
Yeah, it's
Just like us. I mean, we set the intention to get together today,
yeah,
and talk,
yeah,
right? And that wasn't a reality. It was a thought a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And then we thought about it. We put a thing in a calendar. We thought about it. We texted yesterday. We still on? Or was it today? We texted today. We still on? Yeah, yeah, we're still on. And now you're here, and the thought is material now.
You know, I think that's pretty cool, man. Yeah.
Let's eat.
Yeah. Let's get
some food. This is a marathon. We really did a good job.
I have no idea. I've lost. I mean, this has been a liminal space. I have no idea what time it is. There we are.
This might be like 3 hours. Let me see.
Did we even start recording?
I'd like to try something different at the end of this episode. I'm not going to change the fact that I'm grateful for Jordan joining me. I'm not going to change that I'm grateful that you're joining us. All of that stays the same, but I wanted to try not just rambling about you supporting this podcast or asking you to go do something or buy something. I wanted to end it differently. I want to start ending it differently every time. I don't want to ask anything of you. I just want to make something for you. Tonight, I sat down at the piano. I haven't played in about... it's probably been a week and a half. I haven't put my fingers on the keys. I've been walking by my office and looking in and seeing the piano. The top is off so I can see the keys. And it just, it's like sitting there waiting for me. And I look at it and I think, oh, I don't have time right now or, something. And I'll walk away. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I'll regret it. And I'll think, ah. And then when I'm walking into my room and I look in, I just peek into the office and I see it. Anyways, I don't know why I've been avoiding it, but I have. And so tonight I came in to record the intro and outro for this episode with Jordan, which I loved. And I wanted to make sure I got it out this week because it should have gone out last week. I was feeling bad about it. So I want to make sure I got it out and finish these recordings. And I just couldn't resist after I was finished with the outro that I originally recorded. It was the same kind of thing, and I didn't like it. It was just, it wasn't really what I was feeling. It was just, you know, whatever. And so instead, I decided to just record me goofing around on the piano for a while. I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, just like get some of the feelings out onto those keys. Oh my God. It just felt so good. It felt really good. I messed up a couple times. It was simple. It was like just a couple chords here and there, but just being able to walk around and feel myself transferring anxiety and excitement, fear and love and helplessness and the desire to help and all these things that I've been feeling lately. And every time this happens, every time I spend too long away from the piano, I come back to it and remember that this is part of what makes me sane. This is part of what makes me feel balanced. This is part of what makes me able to do good things and love people and love myself and just be good inside and out. So I really am grateful that you, whether you knew it or not, kind of pushed me to do it. And it's so simple to me now. I thought, like, why don't I do stuff like this more often? Why don't I just goof around on this piano? Maybe people want to listen to it. Maybe some of you are wishing that I wasn't talking right now over this part. But sorry, that's it. That's what I'm doing. Anyway, thanks for listening for this long. Thanks for being my pal. If you're listening right now, it's either because you know Jordan or you know me. This is an interesting period of time for a project like this. It's very intimate. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know that we're very closely connected somehow. And that feels safe. Let's do stuff like this more often. Make something for somebody you care about. Even if it's just like a long recording of you talking. Draw him a picture. It doesn't have to be good. I'm not kidding. Go get a piece of paper and draw a smiley face on it, and then put it in an envelope and address it to somebody that you care about. You think that's not going to make their day? You think they're not going to put that in a shoebox somewhere? I love it. Thanks for listening to my podcast. This is Find a Way with Colin. And I can't wait to make something weird for you next time. Good night.